What's up, y'all? Today on Entrepreneurship, we are talking to Catherine Weil, Kat Weil, who is the founder of 4Lulu Events, an events company which focuses on the outdoor industry. Kat shares her battles with being a solo entrepreneur and the importance of a community. She digs into maintaining personal health and mental wellness, relationships, and what her plans are for the future of her company. Entrepreneur Shit is a podcast by and for entrepreneurs. We talk to founders and innovators about the shit they're going through and how they work through the reality of building a business.
Hello.
Catherine Weil is a gem of a human, and we're excited to have you on. So kind of to get started, we want to talk a little bit about, you know, you, your background. Why are you an entrepreneur, and what are you doing?
I think just because I'm really terrible at working for other people, probably.
Fair.
When I was looking at, like, your pre-question about, you know, like, how many projects I've been involved in, I was like, oh, three. Oh, no, five. Oh, no, six. And I was, like, driving over here. I'm like, no, it's, like, 10 or something, you know, more. Like, just constantly always wanting to have ownership and be trying something new and creating something from scratch and just not wanting, you know, I started my career in finance for a large bank, and that was soul sucking. So just kind of, yeah, going as far away from that, but just I get really addicted to the creating a project and seeing other people get invested in it and hopefully it works out and just working with good team and
nice
going broke.
Yeah.
Real quick, how long did you do that financial banking work?
I was in corporate finance for a large bank that I won't say for 4 years, from 2008 to 2012.
Oh, that was so, a fun time.
Yeah, right in the heart of finance. Was super fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. A large bank that probably had to figure out how to, the corporate or the federal government bailed them out, so it's okay.
Yeah.
We bailed other people out too.
So. Yeah, fair. Awesome. So what are you working on now?
Right now, so I have started an event company that I want to focus, you know, mostly entirely on the outdoor industry. So I've done events on and off for a long time with, you know, nonprofit partners or just me wanting, you know, a film screening to happen in Asheville, North Carolina, where I was living, and they weren't doing it there. And they're like, hey, you can do it. So just kind of doing that. And I love the outdoor industry, so focusing all my events around that and hopefully having them all have an impactful purpose to them as well, because I think when events can be really powerful, you have a lot of people coming together around a similar cause or issue or interest, and that's a lot of power that you have there to drive it towards something positive, whether it's, you know, supporting other entrepreneurs or conservation efforts or raising awareness or money, or it's just you have a captive audience, and I think you should use it for more than just like, let's go watch a ski film, brah, which is great. But I think when you have a captive audience like that, which everyone kills for, like, it's an opportunity to use it for something good. So that's my baby. I also helped start Wayfinder Co-op with Joseph over here, which is where we're hanging out today, which is a co-working space here in Denver. I don't know if you guys have talked about it on other podcasts, but for the outdoor industry. So that's been super fun. And then I'm also helping another friend who is starting an international emergency medicine training program. So I'll be her global operations director as well. So,
love it.
Yeah.
So the name of your events company is 4Lulu Events. How long have you been working on that?
The idea for that has kind of been in the mix for probably 3 years. I launched it last March. A job I had, we decided to kind of part ways. And so I was kind of like, no, now's a good time to do it rather than going back into the job search. And Wayfinder was underway and momentum was going, and being around a bunch of entrepreneurs was just a good, inspiring time to get it started.
Nice. And the namesake for Lulu is pretty interesting. Let's hear about that.
It is, yeah. I came out to Colorado for a little bit, and then the plan had always been to go travel. So I moved to New Zealand for a year, and I'm a whitewater kayaker. And I was living in a town in the South Island called Wanaka, which is amazing. And a woman who moved into my house was one of the top kayakers in the world, and we became friends, and we're, you know, kayaking and training and stuff like that. And so we both kind of had always struggled with the balance of life responsibilities and wanting to live on the road and adventure and stuff like that. And she at the time was back in New Zealand finishing her teaching degree while all of her friends were traveling around the world kayaking, you know, badass rivers and stuff. And about 6 months after I got home, I found out that she had passed away on her home run in New Zealand. So her name was Louise Joel. So Lulu was her nickname. So kind of for Lulu and just kind of getting out there, getting after it with good people and bringing good people together around the outdoors. And that's kind of the idea behind the company.
That's awesome. I've known your company for a little while and had no idea that that's where the name came from. That's really cool. So,
little tribute to her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. So true to the nature of entrepreneurship, we kind of want to dig into the shit a little bit here. So we asked you a few questions ahead of time. I want to hear from your perspective. What's the hardest thing that you're going through right now?
Everything. I was thinking about that, like on the drive over here. I was like, oh man, I got to start coming up with some good answers. I think you guys probably know it from your endeavors as well, but just when you're an individual entrepreneur, even if you're lucky to have, another couple people, just the sheer enormity of like what you have to do, like everything is you. So that's like, if you take a day off, that means work isn't getting done, or you're doing all the social media, you're doing all the marketing, you're creating your website, you're reading legal codes and writing your own contracts and doing your accounting and, making connections and networking. And so just that can seem overwhelming, and trying to do it all and then try and actually focus on what matters, because you can't do all of it. So really kind of siphoning that down to like what needs to be done to make the company work again tomorrow, or what brings in the next dollar so that you can keep kind of working on this and hopefully get to a point where you can bring in a team. So I think that's definitely one of my biggest challenges. And then me too. I have a buddy who's, Chris Baker, obviously, multiple entrepreneur, but just he's very good at not letting perfect be the enemy of good. And I'm a very type A person. So like the boxes in here right now are driving me nuts. there's like cardboard boxes all around us. It's driving me nuts. And I like things to be really tidy and clean and perfect. And I think in entrepreneurship and what people tell me about parenthood and stuff is like, you have to let go of that kind of stuff, because that just distracts you from the main goal. So I think that's been my other big challenge, is not making sure that everything is perfect, just kind of winging a little bit more, and you'll figure it out as you go too. So kind of getting better at that.
What have you done to get better at that? Is there any sort of any habits that you've tried to form, or anything you've done to try to become better at not letting, I always butcher that saying, perfect be the enemy of good?
Yeah. So, hosting events, it's been, I've done it a lot in the past, but, there's been a huge learning curve for me as far as doing things like superficially. So just kind of going through the whole process of getting the company insured and insurance on, specific events and what that looks like and what that entails and all the legal jargon around it and everything. So I'm getting better about doing everything the right way, and just being really conscious about that and asking those questions and realizing that that is something really important. Like that could sink the company if something was to happen at an event, and because I didn't know that I should have filed X permit or had insurance on something or been requesting, certificates of insurance or whatever it was. So just kind of realizing what's really important, that's really important. Getting an Instagram post up really is not important right now. Really kind of getting that foundation and what, that whether it's partnerships as far as getting sponsorship for events or making connections that are going to be really valuable to companies that participate in my events, like Year in Beer, and connecting them with other resources that can help them grow. That's what's important, not having a pretty picture on Instagram. And even though that kind of stuff feels impending a lot of times, just kind of really trying to talk to more people and just kind of like figure out like what's important, what's not, like what can I wing safely.
So setting priorities and figuring out like what are the things, what are the driving factors behind the business, and what are the peripheral pieces.
Yeah, because it's really easy, I think, in anything to just get so overwhelmed with wanting to clean up the cardboard boxes in here, and it's like not a priority. Making sure instead, like your insurance and your permits and legal stuff or whatever, like that's what's important, and then driving revenue behind it, and you can clean up the boxes or put Instagram post up tomorrow.
So I had a question. I've obviously been fairly involved in right in the front of your flagship event, which is the Gear and Beer Festival, which is super cool. The first ever Gear and Beer Festival, I think, brought like 800 or 900 people. From an outsider perspective, you're really fucking good at events planning, but from a friend to friend, I recognize that this is also something that stresses you out so fucking much. So what are some ways
So you're not supposed to tell people that.
No. Let's get real.
There's generally a couple tears at every event. It's fine.
Oh, that's because you care about it. I mean, if there aren't any tears, you might be a sociopath. I think what I want to understand is, first of all, why gear and beer? Second of all, what's been the most challenging part about creating an event like this, and what are some of the future goals for it?
Yeah, so gear and beer, the idea came about that because, again, you know, like we started Wayfinder Co-op here in Denver to be a community for the outdoor industry and especially entrepreneurs in the outdoor industry. And, you know, we had just opened the doors in April, and, you know, there's obviously a lot of interest in the outdoor industry here in Denver. And so we wanted to do something to kind of showcase Wayfinder and that this is a resource and a place that people can kind of come and check out, whether you're, you know, a salesperson traveling through and this, like, you work in the outdoor industry, like, this is the place for you, or if you want to start a company, that there's a ton of resources. So we kind of wanted to showcase Wayfinder. But at the same time, I was hearing entrepreneurs in our space that wanted to kind of, you know, go into these other, you know, whether it's like trade shows or big marketing events or anything like that, but they don't have the resources to be able to do that because the price point on them is super high, or they know they're not going to get the ROI on dropping, you know, $5,000 or $20,000 on having a booth at one of these things or attending a conference. So kind of creating an opportunity for them to get in front of really high quality leaders in the outdoor industry, whether it's the media, investors, you know, leading brand buyers and reps and stuff like that. So kind of giving them that opportunity to do it, but at a much affordable, bootstrapped kind of price point. So that's where Gear and Beer kind of came out of, and it's been really interesting to kind of see what's coming of it now, because we have a couple different like partnerships and interests on the table as far as like wanting to support the event or kind of see it grow. Or I've already had people ask me like, oh, we should take it on a tour across the country, which, you know, Joe's kind of like, you love it, but it stresses you out so much. I'm like, yeah, doing like 50 of these across the country would probably put me over the edge right now. But it's awesome to see that like people are really excited about it and see that more and more people want to support local entrepreneurs and small entrepreneurs, especially whether they're rural-based or female-founded or for and by adaptive athletes or people of color and stuff like that. And that's kind of what I want Gear and Beer to be, is kind of help those people that might not otherwise have access to resources get access to those resources, and hopefully eventually kind of become a voice where we can kind of speak to the whole of, you know, the entrepreneurship in the outdoor industry. What was the second question? I forget.
I think you addressed everything. that was great. I think the biggest thing is like where you'd like to see this go, as opposed to the other people telling you like, oh yeah, you should keep doing this. Cause people do say that, like if they see from the peripheries, like, oh, this seems to be going well, you should expand it, or you should do this, this, and this. I'm like, well, maybe I should figure out how to do it right on a smaller scale and then do that. But where do you see this going?
That's a good question. We're kind of at a point, it's only been a year. So we did a festival last June, one this past January, and then our third one is going to be, last July, this, and then the third one will be this coming June. We've had a couple of different opportunities being presented to us, whether kind of doing Gear and Beer as a pop-up within a much larger event because they are really excited about it, or hosting it at other locations, whether here in Colorado or across the country and stuff. So we'll kind of see what comes of the opportunity to bring it to other locations. I think that would be fantastic because, you know, I have people who do come from Vermont and Texas to participate, but at the same time, a lot of people can't because that's still a huge investment, to get on a plane and fly all your stuff out here and get a hotel and food and everything. So I think it'd be great to do it in different locations because, again, there's so many, you know, I have a list of nearly 1,000 companies that I know of that are in the startup space in the entrepreneur or in the outdoor industry across the country. And I'm sure that's a fraction of who's actually out there. So in addition to kind of seeing it grow in that sense, I really want it to become part of the ecosystem of what's out there right now as far as pitch competitions, accelerators, just all the different pieces that are trying to tap into entrepreneurs in the outdoor industry. So rather than us kind of creating our own pitch competition or our own accelerator, kind of placing ourselves within that ecosystem of, okay, you have a brand concept, like this is the pitch competition that you go to. You're looking for seed stage funding. This is the pitch competition to go to. You want to go to your first, you know, event that you showcase at, like Gear and Beer is that. And then you go to this one after that and kind of help build so that we're not all in competition with one another. And there's like a little bit more of a clear plan for these entrepreneurs who are all bootstrapped of like where you want to put your money so you're getting the best value out of it. And I want Gear and Beer to kind of be a piece of that and be able to connect people with the right resources kind of throughout the year in between the festivals.
Nice.
So is Gear and Beer, is that going to be like your sort of primary piece to all of this? Or what else are you doing with Fort Lulu outside of Gear and Beer?
So that's a challenge right now. I had 12 events on the calendar that were in theory what I wanted to do this year. Gear and Beer definitely takes a significant portion of my time. It takes about 3 to 6 months to plan each of the events. And just kind of seeing the success of them thus far, and as more and more people kind of want to get involved in different capacities. I was talking with somebody tomorrow. I was like, you know, maybe the event company just entirely goes away and it just becomes Gear and Beer. And that kind of gets, that's, you know, a festival that's under a new company name that just becomes about focused on entrepreneurship in the outdoor industry and like how to help startups. Because I was talking with a really great organization, it's a nonprofit. They're like, we have all of these resources that we give away for free and want to invest money in things, and we just can't get in front of the right people. So maybe the event company kind of goes away, but we've done in the past product launches and film screenings. We've done adventure races. We've done we helped work on a really large, you know, mountain sports festival out in Asheville, North Carolina, where I used to live. And so I've done a bunch of different things, and it's like I have so many ideas of events I'd love to do. But I think one of the biggest lessons I've learned this year is, you know, every time with an event like that, like you're recreating the wheel over and over, because you then have to build a new website. You have to do all of the legal stuff is different. All your social media is different. Getting sponsors on and people there and participants and it's not, it would be easier to, you know, kind of create Gear and Beer Ritz, all those materials are done, and just kind of move it around the country or the state, or a run series that's really replicable. So I think that's kind of my biggest lesson learning is like, great, you have all these ideas, but each one of them is a 3 to 6 month mm-hmm. project.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So. Mm.
So you gave us a little bit of insight before the recording here about some of the topics that have been really prevalent in your life as a side effect of being an entrepreneur, a solo entrepreneur at that, things that have affected relationships, what albeit romantic or otherwise, financial well-being, and the kind of this community piece. How have those aspects kind of affected your ability to perform? How have those aspects affected your ability to, or like your desire to keep going?
So I think they're all super intertwined. I mean, you guys know this as entrepreneurs as well, but you know, from the community aspect, I mean, Wayfinder has been massive this year. Being able to be here and work in this community alongside other entrepreneurs, especially entrepreneurs in the same industry who kind of understand those struggles. It's one of the things I remember coming back after Christmas break, and it was one of those things that I've been in the house by myself for a couple of days, and you know, I'm not married or anything like that. So it's just when you're not around people, like I've learned that I'm a very social person. I'm home for like 45 minutes by myself and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so lonely. you know, so like a whole week of that, like I was going nuts. And I came in and I kind of just said something casually at Wayfinder, like 7 other people popped up from their desks, were like, oh my God, me too. Like, I wish you'd called me. So just kind of knowing that, like having that community that is there, and, you know, we all have different communities, whether it's our personal friendships or older friendships from, you know, college or families and stuff like that. And they all kind of serve their purpose. And I think having my entrepreneur community understands things that, you know, my family is kind of like, wait, I don't understand. Like, how are you making money? Like, kind of asking those questions just like, should you be applying for jobs? And like, and, you know, caring about me. But, you know, everyone in the entrepreneur community, like, really understands it. And when I'm working, you know, 7 days a week and, you know, trying to take an hour out to go do something. And
like a podcast in the middle of a Saturday.
Yeah, but this is great. You know, like, to me, this is still work, sort of. But so I think, you know, having different communities is really great, because then I have, you know, my community of friends from college who, you know, have seen me kind of go through all the different changes over the years and everything. And they serve, you know, one purpose that's different than my entrepreneur community or for my family and stuff. But yeah, having a community of people who understands what you're trying to do and what those challenges are and can commiserate with you on that is imperative, at least for me. Relationships, as far as that one, yeah, like that, again, I think that kind of goes into the community piece. But yeah, I mean, it definitely affects your relationships. You know, I hear other people who are, you know, dating or married and stuff like that, and it's just their partners can't always quite understand like why you're working 16 hours a
day. Why are you doing this yourself?
Yeah, you know, like you're kind of like, it's like the, I always think, what is it, the Da Vinci Code when the guy's like whipping himself in the back with like that knotted rope. It's like, why are you doing this to self? Like, this is your choice. And they just, you know, like they might not understand that you really are working 18 hours a day or 12 hours a day or whatever it is, that it's not you just going like hanging out with your friends, like drinking mm-hmm. beer, like mm-hmm. saying you're starting this company. And just, you know, it's like, I was telling these guys, I'm like supposed to go on a date afterwards. I'm like, I don't have time for this, which is terrible. And I feel so bad saying that to this like poor guy, but I'm just like, it's not my priority right now. And I think, you know, you gotta go through life when you have different priorities and stuff like that. And sometimes it's friendships or family or personal or business or whatever. And this for me right now is definitely a priority. And I know that's putting strain on some of my relationships and like my group of friends that I used to go climbing with every weekend. I haven't like gone out with in several months and stuff. So
yeah, that's challenging. I can speak specifically to this ironic thing that happened when you and I were a big part of building this Wayfinder co-op community, which is a bunch of outdoorsy people. I haven't done shit outside for the better part of a year. And yeah. I feel, and
which is like, you own an outdoor company, but you sit inside yeah, all the time. I'm like, I know.
I talk about the outdoors a lot.
Yeah. Joe and I always just like slack each other. Like, when are we going to go kayaking? And we're like, I don't know.
Do you remember kayaking?
Yeah. I'd be like, remember what the river was like?
Yeah.
I think that's a good segue there. Like, how do you find time? What do you do to kind of, for self-care purposes? What does that look like for you right now?
Crap, honestly. Yeah. It's been something. So I also know that I'm like a very much a weather driven person and I am not a winter person. So like, I can feel like my whole personality shifting now that the weather is getting nice. But, it's been something I've been really bad about, especially over this winter, is just like go, 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 go for, you know, 6 days out of the week and then just like absolutely crash on the last day and be like, don't talk to me. I'm in bed with Netflix all day. Like, and so realizing that that's super unhealthy. And I think sometimes as an entrepreneur, just like even in general, like people can get really caught up in work or whatever they deem is really important. And again, it's one of those things is like getting that Instagram post up is not always crucial to do. Like, going out and getting on the river or going climbing or seeing friends or, you know, like you need to prioritize those things above just thinking that everything is do or die about your company. So that's definitely on my goal list. You know, like tomorrow, like the weather's supposed to be kind of crappy. So it's like, okay, in the morning you need to like go buy a new computer and then like go to the gym and work out. And, you know, I like to do something like in my neighborhood, like just go around and like, I usually do it on Wednesday nights and just like put my headphones in and call friends I haven't talked to or my parents and pick up trash in the neighborhood. Cause like, again, it's just like dirtiness drives me nuts. So it's like, I go around and like clean up the neighborhood, and call some old relationships and stuff like that, just trying to do stuff more like that and kind of create habits around it so that it's really, again, kind of conscious, because I think it's easy if when I was back in the bank and stuff like that, like super scheduled and everything like that. And then it kind of comes easy to go full swing the opposite way. And she's like, my time's my own. And like, I want to do what I want. And it's like, okay, that's also not healthy. Like you kind of have to have some structure. So, that's kind of my goal, is just like, make sure that I am working out and, you know, I have a friend that I used to climb with every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. And haven't done that in like probably 8 months. So like getting back into that, cause it just sets a tone for your whole day, and that's a relationship that I'm you know, working on with a friend, and just getting out and working on those biceps.
Yeah, you talked about routine, the importance of routines, yeah, and positive habit forming. One of the things that I've realized recently in my own life is that I tend to be motivated by negative things, like more of a crime and punishment sort of thing, and I don't know if it has anything to do with my upbringing or how I was raised or what. But it's amazing what happens when you reward yourself for doing something, because with entrepreneurship, oftentimes you don't really get to see a lot of the rewards of your labor. So you have to make efforts to be able to kind of like celebrate the little wins.
Yeah. And I think so that touches on two things for me. It was like this morning I had a friend call me. She's like, hey, you want to go to Provence in August? And I was like, yep. You know, she was going for a friend's wedding. And she was like, hey, I'm going to be going for probably like a week or two, or like, I don't know if you can do that. I'm like, yes, I can. Like, that's the benefit of owning my time. And this will be after June when I have You know, we have a bit, you know, I'm Wayfinders event director as well. So it's like we have a busy month of events for us. Plus I have Gear and Beer, plus Gear and Beer is popping up elsewhere. So June is going to be just like absolutely exhausting. And I was like, I need to plan a vacation in July. And then this just fell in my lap. And I was like,
awesome.
Perfect. Like I can say yes to that. And time is not a restriction for me. Cause again, like I can, you know, keep working from somewhere or just like straight up disappear off the mat for 2 to 4 weeks. And that would be amazing. And, you know, kind of really, really, regenerative.
Yeah, is that the word?
Yeah, like probably. Healing?
Yeah.
I don't know what the word I'm looking for there is.
Speaking of Provence, I've been drinking box wine for 2 hours now. So, yeah, probably.
Yeah. I figured out the second thing I had that was going to be really intelligent, but I just went to France instead.
So. France sounds cool.
Yeah, that's intelligent.
Yeah.
Well, so. Yeah, so love to hear about some of the other just general challenges that you're going through. Some, maybe, you spoke to the fact that, you know, dealing with city bureaucracy and permitting and just some of the little details that you didn't really think would be a part of your daily life and your daily workflow. How have you dealt with that? And, how does it kind of disrupt your daily flow?
Oh, it's so annoying. It was, I mean, you know, like last week I spent 6 hours at the excise and licensing office because, you know, Colorado's changed the way it does special event permitting and stuff, which is how a lot of my events operate under and how a lot of the events at Wayfinder operate, which is great because, you know, it means more happening around the city and stuff like that. And the city just kind of wants to get a little bit more eyes on what's happening and make sure that everyone's doing things safely. But then again, like the two different teams in the city hadn't really spoken to each other at all, and so I had no idea what was going on. So then I spent 6 hours of my day in the access and licensing office and going back and forth between both and be like, no, Cindy said this, no, Joe said this, no, Cindy said this, no, Joe said this. I'm like, oh my god, just like get together and like figure your shit out. It's like I should not be wasting my time figuring this out for you. But that's also like that's just the way it goes. You know, like it's something we talk about at Wayfinder. Like we weren't planning on opening a tap room in our space until like 3 months ago or something. And that just threw a huge curveball, but you just kind of gotta figure it out. And it's one of those things that like, I hate doing the permitting and like, it's not a big deal. It's just, it's a lot of paperwork to just like get together in advance and you have to have all of your details, you know, dialed in as far as, you know, where you're doing it and how many people are, you know, just like all that stuff, which is really hard sometimes. And my stuff is, that stuff's fluid up until a lot closer to the event. But it's like getting an event permit done is crucial again, because it's like, I need to make sure that I have my insurance in place. And one of the new regulations now is if you're over a certain number of people and you're on a special event permit, you're going to have a fire permit and firefighter, you know, a certain number of firefighters per attendees and stuff like that. So that's great. And it's also that like needs to happen. But at the same time, like I need to be making sure my vendors are being taken care of, getting buyers there, getting media there, getting the audience there, like securing bands to like all of those things that I need to do to make sure the event is done. But like, if I don't get those first things done, the entire event is just shut down. Like the city could just, you know, so it's annoying, but like whatever, the world's annoying sometimes. So you just got to deal with it. And it's just not a big deal once you do. And it's just, I don't know, I think it's a little bit empowering too. It's just like, I know, you know nothing about this, Joe. Like, and I know, like, I am now, like, not an expert in it, but it's like, I know what I need to do. Just kind of like, I would have no idea how to, like, even begin coding a website or whatever. Like, so I think it just gives you that, I think it's a little bit of a confidence boost too, that you figure it out. Like, you read the alcohol codes and I can go in and be like, no, well, section 72.31, you know, like, and they're like, oh, okay, wow, you actually read that. Really organized.
And the clerks at those offices have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah, and I like rolled in with like 3 binders and I like set them on the table and she's like, wow, you're the most organized person I've ever seen in here. And I was like, perfect. Like, whatever I'm asking for, you're probably going to give me at this point.
And you talk to these people that are also on the peripheries and you share these sort of grievances and annoyances and are like, well, that's just the cost of doing business. Well, fuck you.
Yeah. And you're like, well, that's stupid. But unfortunately, like, that's just, like, they're the powers that be. And you know, like, I always have to remind myself, like, the person at the desk, like, I can't get pissed at them that I'm spending 6 hours there because their bosses didn't talk to one another and kind of, like, threw this initiative out there and didn't educate their teams and stuff. So it's like, I think about it, like, flying through the airport, like, I try never to get, like, angry at the gate agent or, you know, whatever, like, my plane's delayed, like, it's not his fault or her fault, like, and just yelling at them is not going to get you anywhere faster. So,
right. So we talk a little bit about like anecdote stories we asked in our questionnaire if you had an anecdote or story to share.
Yeah,
your
probably.
Response was sure. That was intriguing to us. I wasn't sure if that was like there is a great story behind that, sure. Or
no,
if
that was like, I'll probably think of something on my like drive over there. I was like answering this from my phone. I'm like, you're like asking me if I have like kids and am I married? I'm like, Jesus Christ, what's up with the interrogation, guys?
Yeah,
like,
Eric,
I was prepared for like a white lamp and like a dark chair. Yeah.
Eric pointed that out earlier and I was like, well, to her credit, we didn't ask her to elaborate
to share the
story. You just like, yeah, I got one.
Yeah. I'm getting really good at like just kind of doing like just the bare minimum of what needs to be done because I got other shit to do. Uh-huh. So what happens when you send it to me 30 minutes before I'm supposed to be here when I've asked you like 3 days? I'm like, what are we talking about? What do you need me to do? An anecdote.
And if you don't have one, that's okay. We just thought that sure might be like loaded with something.
That's a share with a person shrugging emoji.
Let me bring it up here real quick. The question is basically, do you have a short story or anecdote to share to provide some context about the selections you made above? So, you know, you were talking about relationships, financial well-being, and community were sort of three areas that kind of jump out at you in terms of what, you know, challenges have been in your sort of entrepreneurial experience.
I don't know if this really addresses that specifically, but I'll tell you the story of last summer's gear and beer. So this was the first time I was hosting this event here at Wayfinder, and it was one of those things like, don't know who's going to show up. There's going to be like 200 people. There's going to be 800 people. We had a simultaneous event happening indoors. I was like trying to get 30 companies set up outside and, you know, all the beer and making sure, you know, I'd hired security and everything like that. Just again, like not sure if like this is kind of public on the street, like are they like sitting and just like swing by and be like, shut it down. And so pretty much just like, and it was one of those things like, I don't like asking for help. I like to value people and I don't like asking for people's help for free. But at the same time, it's like, I didn't have money to pay anybody. So it was kind of like, I had one friend who was like, do you need help tomorrow? And I was like, okay. So she showed up at like 10 a.m. and thank God, Alex came because she was so clutch and she wasn't somebody I had to direct what to do when shit hit the fan. Like she just knew it. And she was like, get out of my face. I got this, go away. Like Joe was super clutch, helping out with a bunch of stuff because the event inside was starting to happen at the same time as I saw weather coming over the mountains from the Rockies. And I was like, stay away. And I was like, people
freaking
were like,
oh my God.
Freaking, like all that week we'd had shit weather in Denver and, it was like someone was like, oh, yeah, there's just a massive hailstorm down in Colorado Springs. And I could just like see it come over the mountains at me. And I was like, fucking stay away. Please stay away. 6:30, it was like right when everyone was going to be arriving. There was like massive traffic on Santa Fe and the event indoors was happening. And it was just, it's super windy. It didn't even rain that much, but just wind. And a lesson that I hadn't learned at that point, and now I know, was that people hadn't weighted their tents down. And so a couple of them went flying. And I started freaking out that they were going to blow into the street and cause an accident or they were going to hurt somebody. And just kind of honestly like froze a little bit in that moment of just like, oh my God, don't tell anyone, but I didn't buy insurance on my event at that point in time. because I was like, it's June in Denver. It's going to be beautiful weather. Like, I'm not going to fuck anything up. Weather in Colorado has a totally different opinion on that. And so it was just, yeah, I was just really nervous that like somebody was going to get hurt or, and then it had just kind of like killed the entire event. Luckily, you know, Joe and Alex were kind of rolling around and just like getting everyone to put their tents, just pull them down. And we had some vehicles in the outbuilding that we're now sitting in and kind of like drove them out and got everyone in here. Had the DJ just like get the party, keep the party going. It was great for the event that was happening inside because all of a sudden they had a massive audience. Unfortunately they were drunk and talking, but, so just, I don't know where I'm going with this story at this point, but...
Well, we put you on the spot with this one. It's a good story, though.
So it's just like, for me, it was like a lot of lessons learned as far as like, buy insurance. Because like, again, like I had like, my banners were like hanging off our roof, like using like 5 gallon buckets that were like weighted down with like sand and water. And I was like, I swear to God, if one of those things like goes off the roof, like someone's going to die. And that was terrifying of just like, okay, like... sometimes you can cut corners, sometimes you can't. And then just having a community of people that like Joe just dove in. My sister was here helping out and Alex was here. And, you know, Chris's wife, Ellie, who they just had a baby like the month before, she's like got a kid strapped to her and she's like running around making sure everyone has beer. So it's like, they're not, you know, the vendors are all happy and not being frustrated. And everyone's just like, man, it's Colorado. What are you going to do about the weather? And it was just like, oh my God, no one's angry.
And no
I was
one's
just,
angry.
And it was unbelievable. And it was like, I was like so like full of adrenaline and hadn't slept in like 3 days trying to make sure that this event was running perfect that I just like burst into tears at like one point. It was like after like the event had restarted and I was like around a corner, a guy like walks by and he's like, you okay? And I was like, yeah, great. It's
fine. And he just like grabs me. He's like, look, there's a double rainbow. And like, gives me a hug. And it was like the most fucking Colorado thing. And I, like, he had like long flowing Jesus hair. And then like gave me like a really lovely hug. And then just like walked into my event. I'm like, don't worry, it's my event. I'm a professional, I promise. So just kind of like, I don't, like literally shit will hit the fan. And just seeing again, like my community coming together, because, you know, Chris's kid like ran away in the middle of that. And in like,
oh yeah, there's a toddler running like, around in the middle of all of it too.
For like a solid 30 minutes there, it was mayhem. I don't really know. I was blacked out pretty much. It's just like on adrenaline. But luckily, like everybody was, it was fine and everyone was in good spirits. And I luckily had a really good community that kind of came out of that. And I don't know where that story was going.
I think that comes back to the importance of community and people that people that got your back and people that recognize that there is going to be some shit, some things flying at you. Some of them might be tents and tables.
But there's a Jesus.
Never again.
But
Jesus will show up and show you a double rainbow.
That was a pretty clutch moment, and and from my perspective, the winter gear and beer was, you know, it teed up for such awesome success because people saw your ability to handle that and get that shit to get that all back together, and then it turned out to be great. Everybody popped their tents back up, and it was an amazing event. People were dancing, mm-hmm. winning raffle prizes, and all that. So yeah.
Yeah. Again, I think it just goes back to we have a really awesome community, especially in the outdoor industry. So, and as entrepreneurs, you're like, you all know shit hits the fan. So if you support one another through that, and I think that's clutch.
Exactly.
So, awesome. Yeah.
So where are you right now? Like what's on the horizon that you're like, the big challenge, the thing that kind of keeps you up at night? What's the thing that you're kind of looking down the path and going, this is the thing I've got to like really face and take on to figure out what the next step is for my company?
So I think based off on the last couple kind of conversations I've had with people, it's, you know, really what do I want the company to become? And it's like, do I want to keep it with the events or do I want to just focus fully on gear and beer and kind of like make that event grow and really support the entrepreneurs who participate in that as far as our partnerships and stuff? I think this kind of goes back to one of the things I was going to mention earlier, but like one of the biggest challenges is when you're a solopreneur and like, you know, I'm single, it's like not, you don't have any partner in your personal life or in your business. Like, I was just out with a bunch of girlfriends, you know, like last weekend, and they were all talking about like how great it is to like that their husbands like, I don't know, like pay the insurance on the car or, you know, laundry or, you know, whatever. And it's just like, wouldn't that be nice in like my personal life to like have somebody do anything for me that it's like not just everything for me. And then on top of that, you're doing the entire business yourself and having to make those decisions. And I think that's one of the hardest parts is like making those decisions and making them without all the complete information. So kind of like right now, like, what do I want for Lulu to become? Do I want us to be an event company or do I want to just focus on gear and beer and kind of like start developing that as an entire ecosystem as far as focusing on entrepreneurs and manufacturers, startups in the outdoor space? So I think that's kind of definitely one of the biggest challenges is not having anyone to kind of bounce those ideas off and have, not that you don't, I have people to bounce those ideas off of, but people that have like a stake in the outcome of those decisions and that can support them and take some of that work to make those things happen.
Mm-hmm.
So awesome. This has been such a fun conversation. The one question that we want to be able to wrap this conversation up with each time is, when was the last time you thought about quitting?
30 minutes ago.
And why, are you really, still doing it?
Really, I think that was... it was a while ago, I think, to be like really honest. I'm like, everyone's like, I am so like, I want to do so many different things in life. Like I volunteer with a disaster response organization and I really want to like get into that as a career path, or like, I really want to, you know, support, you know, Rachel with Backcountry Pulse and supporting that on a global effort. But at the same time, like I find it really addicting to see that things are progressing for Lulu and with gear and beer, and that there is, you know, money coming in the door, like not, you know, it's in tens of dollars, not, you know, millions of dollars, but just seeing that happen and the more connections that come out of it. So it was like, I don't want to give up on it yet. And I was even talking to somebody who was talking to me about a job the other day, and I was like, would love to, but I'm not giving this up at the same time, just because there is momentum behind it. And so for me, it really hasn't been a question of quitting lately. I think there's definitely like those panic moments where you're like, fuck this, this sucks. But at the same time, like, I can't see myself doing very much else. So I think it's, you know, it's right or you know, it's wrong. I've tried to start businesses before and been like, yeah, this sucks. Like, I'm done. Or I've worked on other people's startups and just don't believe in them. Whereas this, I can actually see something coming out of it, and I'm not ready to give up on it anytime soon. So
awesome. That's awesome. Thank you so much for being here and for sharing your wisdom with us.
Yeah, this was awesome. Thanks. We got to get you out for a date now, right?
Maybe you want to pound a little. You want to pound a little more of this box wine before your date.
God, awesome. This is terrible. I shouldn't say this.
Catherine Weil with 4Lulu Events.
Thanks so much.